It's a warm welcome to Fazile Dlamini, the founder and managing director of a company called Green Scooter. Fazile, thanks for taking the time to join me today.
Hi, Gareth. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So now I'm going to quote a tweet that you posted, I think yesterday, which went absolutely viral. You tweeted, and I quote, "Uber and Taxify both declined my job applications 10 times in the past 3 years because I didn't fit the criteria, blah, blah, blah. I then sought to create my own opportunity and Green Scooter was born. If all doors you knock don't open, build your own." So can you tell our listeners about the background to this tweet and your story?
Okay, so so the story with Uber, Taxify. Look, those are two companies I was very, very passionate about, you know, in terms of what they're doing, what they're about. And I really wanted to be a part of the whole organizational culture, especially from a tech perspective, since I was doing my final year at varsity at UJ. At UJ, I was studying a degree in strategic corporate communications. And believe it or not, I'm also a Rhodes dropout when I was doing my law degree. Like my passion, and I really loved it, and I really had, you know, great ideas for Uber and Taxify. You know, I just didn't meet the criteria according to the people that I was sending emails to and the platforms that they had for job applications locally and internationally. So when I started working on my idea in 2015, and I still, you know, back then I just felt like, you know, it really needs an Uber Taxify to survive. And you know, after engagement with a lot of people, because I actually did submarine the idea for over a year. So I submarined it in 2016. Then a friend of a friend's, we met up having some lunch, and while having lunch, they're like, "Look, we want to find out what your whole business is about, you know, because you've been saying that you've got this great idea, but we want to know what it is." So we had the conversation where I started to tell them what it is, and they're telling me, like, "You can't let this go. You really have to go ahead with it because it is a gold mine, according to them." And I was like, "Yeah, but the problem is that it's too big for me. Like, I can't really do it on my own." So I've had, obviously, partners before, and, you know, co-foundings don't really work most of the time. And they don't work because one person has more passion than the rest. So I've had partners from the moment I registered Green Scooter. I had partners when we were trying to, you know, bring it up last year. And then I had to ask them to, like, you know, "I think it's best that you guys leave and I'll carry on my own." And I've literally been bootstrapping a lot of stuff on my own for Green Scooter. And I think right now was the right time to launch it. After I went to Sweden and I secured my, you know, my exclusive agreements with the guy that's like manufacturing the vehicles. So we've got a lot of future plans together for Africa as a whole. So it's not just a guy that's bringing in vehicles that anyone can. It's actually a guy that, you know, I think I've also tweeted that we're planning on building our own factory this side, which would belong to Green Scooter. And we'll see how we work out then. I think I've given you a mouthful.
So let's just take a step back. So if you had to give an elevator pitch about Green Scooter to an investor or to anybody on the street, how would you describe your business?
So, you know, the thing with my business, right, before I get to the elevator part, it has a vast value chain. You know, the value chain is what makes it sustainable and is a lifetime business. So Green Scooter, the first electric vehicle ride-sharing platform built for Africa by Africa. And it's one that's going to create a lot. It has a lot of financial benefits and societal benefits that, you know, can really improve how we consume. What I'm mainly trying to do as a mantra of my business is to, number one, be green, mind the pun. Two, it is to, you know, change consumerism through neuromarketing approaches and neuroscience. It's something that I'm heavily passionate about. It's something that I'm trying to apply with everything that I'm doing. Hence why certain things go viral, because it's understanding what triggers people when and at what time.
So now there's a video of you on Twitter that you posted of yourself riding one of these scooters, I think in Sweden.
Yes.
Can you tell us how these vehicles work? So are they going, I mean, is this going to be a competitor to Uber? Just like you can order a ride on Uber via an app, I presume you'll be able to do that through Green Scooter, and then an electric scooter arrives at your door.
Yes. So you're absolutely correct. We were basically an e-hailing platform, ride sharing. Hail your scooter, your scooter will come to you. So we have two types of vehicles at our hands. The first vehicle is the passenger vehicle, which you see here and there in that video that's on social media. And then we have the cargo. So the cargo is like the main one that a lot of people saw and has attracted a lot of people. It's from Africa. Like, I've literally been getting emails from a number of countries. So the passenger one is strictly for passenger transport, carrying two passengers at a time, has a total distance of 100 kilometers and top speed of 60 kilometers an hour. The vehicle weighs about 20 kilograms and is actually made up of 270 parts. It's very zippy. I've actually posted another video with a crash test. So people kept on asking me, so what happens if someone crashes into us? And I posted a video of it. You know how vehicles have their crash tests?
Yes.
So I posted that video for people to see. And then with regards to the cargo, so our next phase for Scooter is launching our Scooter Treats app. So Scooter Treats is one that I'm heavily passionate about because I'm now focusing on small, medium enterprises. So it's in two ways. One, we're creating a platform for restaurants, takeaway joints, service-based or products for people to be able to access them on our platform. And in terms of from a delivery perspective, it'll all happen from the driver partnerships that we have. So we'll literally dispatch drivers to whichever destination they need to go. And this is because we've noticed a lot of SMEs, they don't have the funds to have a Nissan 1400 and use that for deliveries or a caddy of some sort. So we're trying to like bridge that gap and make it simple for people to reach consumers that they would not ought to reach normally. And then two, a lot of people who have been coming to me and saying, look, I've got a delivery business in Tanzania, Kenya, Angola, Mozambique, or even in South Africa. And I'm like, that vehicle will be sold to them so that they can operate their business. And the great thing about this technology is that, with a lot of people, is that it can last you from 5 to 10 years with servicing. An electric motor is supposed to travel at least 500,000 kilometers. You service it after 200,000 kilometers.
Right.
So there's so much potential, and people will be saving so much money as opposed to your traditional tuk-tuks that have a lot of wear and tear. So if something breaks, we can literally, if something drastically happens to the vehicle, it has to be drastic. We can check on our smart devices or on our dashboard and literally say, okay, cool, there's a certain part that is a fault. We literally know what to fix. So no one has to pop the hood or anything.
So Fazile, just in terms of charging these vehicles, obviously with electric vehicles, you need charging stations. So where are you going to charge all of these vehicles?
We do have plans to erect our own charging stations around the areas that we'll be operating in because everything is going to be solar based. That's literally the mantra that we're trying to do. Like I said, we're all about renewable, clean energy. So we need to lead by example. Because for someone, when I did my research with regards to the current EVs that are available, an average household with an EV will spend an extra 7,800 rand per annum on electricity. So now we have to make sure that we are building infrastructure that, number one, can sustain itself, does not need drastic maintenance, is not going to cost the consumer an arm and a leg. It's not going to cost us an arm and a leg. So we are literally trying to phase out the already existing petrol stations that are there through EVs. And that for me, I feel any automobile manufacturer, that is literally what's going to happen. If everyone switches to EVs, all those petrol stations will fall out.
So I'd imagine then that if you don't use one of these solar charging stations, you could probably charge the vehicle at home as well, just off the grid.
Absolutely. Yeah, you can charge off your own grid. But we're trying to build our own grids where, you know, I'm trying to think of an example. So let's say Campus Square in Auckland Park. If we have, let's say, 5 or 6 charging stations that are solar powered, people can, you know, we can take the extra power and literally power whatever Campus Square would want us to power, because we have so much left over that it's not all of it is going to be used, so we need to push it back somewhere. There's a lot.
And how many vehicles are you planning on bringing to South Africa, and how many charging stations would you be planning on building potentially?
I can't really give an accurate number on the charging stations, but in terms of the vehicles, we are looking at launching our pilot with 10 to 20.
Okay.
Just so that, to be honest, we really have to A/B test a lot. We need to make sure that there's a market fit with where we're trying to place it. Yes, we have already put in strategies in place. We've done our research and know it. But at the same time, we still have to make sure that it works. One thing I've come to learn is that we can have a 12-month pilot phase, but then because of the demand that is there, it can literally shrink to a 3-month or a 6-month. So anything is possible. Just it's all based on the demand. Because from an investor's perspective, they want to know, okay, cool. So you want to launch this thing? Do you have a pilot phase? Yes, you have a pilot phase. Then wait, how will you know that it's working? So that's why now what I'm doing on Twitter and actually on all my social media platforms is that I'm getting people to register for the app. So my target is reaching 10,000, a database of 10,000 people that are going to potentially download the app as it launches. So once we do that, that's enough traction to spark an interest with any investor.
Just in terms of acquiring these vehicles, because obviously this would, I presume, require quite a lot of capital. So have you then got an investor on board, or are you financing this on your own?
So I've been speaking to a lot of investors, and you know, a lot of investors' concerns is, so what traction do you have? So what money have you spent? And you know, it's a difficult question to answer, because you know, if I had the capital, I wouldn't have went to them for funding. So I've been having a few thoughts of how to you know, fund this thing myself. Either A, it's gonna happen through crowdfunding, or B, it's this interesting model that I want to apply, but I can't really say what it is. But I'm having meetings with a lot of private investors, the guys with hedge funds. I've been engaging with government. Even though government has all these policies there, they're really not, you know, coming to the floor.
Yeah.
Because you know, all their policies would say, we want to go, we want to be innovative, we want to be green. You look at the National Transportation Month. They wanted to go all green. They wanted to decrease carbon emissions. But when a youth comes with the ideas, comes and shows the business case, then all of a sudden it doesn't work according to them. So there's a lot of barriers in terms of funding, but I'm definitely going to make it work.
Okay, but I mean, either way, you've got these vehicles coming from Sweden to South Africa for this pilot. So when is this pilot going to kick off?
So we're hoping to kick off on the 1st of September. That's the ideal date. So 1st of September is the ideal date to launch.
And is it mainly going to be in Johannesburg then that you're going to carry out this pilot?
So we're going to start off in Johannesburg. If we bring in more vehicles, then we'll we'll test out simultaneously, and so I can test out in Johannesburg, then we'll test out in Cape Town at the same time. You know, everything has a plan, like a contingency.
Mm.
So we do hope to launch nationally, but again, it's a market fit.
Mm. And I guess between now and September, it also gives you time to get the idea out there and possibly get more investors on board.
Absolutely. This is a lifetime business. You know, it's something that can, you know, really develop our country as a whole,
mm.
from a social, economical, and political point of view, because we have a high unemployment rate, and for me, my business, it's literally also a platform to bring in self-starters. So without the drivers, we won't have any riders to service.
Mm.
And that's the model I'm applying.
Fazile mm. Dlamini, thank you so much for telling us more about your venture, and I wish you the best of luck with it.
Thank you very much, Gareth. Hope you have a great day.
Great, you too. Thanks a lot.